Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And as you know, this is one of my favorite times of the week. And if you've listened to us before, you know that I bring along one of my favorite people.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Ah, wonderful, Richard. We're looking forward to the show tonight. And if you have signed up at our website at, what's that website, Richard, to get our email?
The2012countdown.com.
Yes. And go to the bottom of the page and sign up for our email, and you will know the individual that we have every week that's going to be on the show. And tonight, we have an interesting individual who came to me directly instead of me going to her, and it's Anne Frank. So, Richard will be bringing in her energy, and what I suggest that you do is quietly call her name, and as Richard describes her energies, maybe you will feel it. A lot of people do. So, Richard, tell me what you feel when you connect with her.
Yes, there is this essentially loving energy, very vital, very happy energy is how I describe it. I suspect if she had the opportunity to live a normal life, she would have been a very vital, active, contributing kind of individual. This beautiful, light, feminine energy that was almost a kind of dancing energy. Reminds me of flowers and, you know, kind of skipping through the flowers sort of energy. It's a beautiful, light, innocent, very genuine energy, but there's this beautiful lightness about it. It's very interesting.
I like that dancing energy. That is beautiful, dancing among the flowers. Sounds wonderful.
Mm.
So, Richard, does Miss Frank have a message for us tonight?
Hopefully so. Let's see what she has to say. I am pleased to be given the opportunity to join with you on your radio show. I did not expect to get this opportunity, but when Carolyn was looking for someone, I immediately took the opportunity because I wanted to share with you some thoughts directly about my life and how it relates to your time. There is a certain completion for souls that have crossed over when they have the opportunity to come forth and participate in this radio show in this way, a completeness of sorts. And so I am very appreciative that this opportunity has been given to me, though I do admit I kind of grabbed it by grabbing Carolyn's attention when she was looking for someone. So I thank the two of you, and I also thank those of you listening for the opportunity to communicate with you from my, you might consider, elevated vantage point. Most of you will know of me directly or indirectly through the book that essentially published the contents of my diary. And I will say that in large measure what was published was an accurate representation of my diaries. It was a challenging time, as you might appreciate. We were German Jews that had fled Germany and moved to Holland. And in truth, I had lived most of my life in Holland. And then as events unfolded, we realized that the Germans were moving to imprison the Jewish people within the Netherlands. And so, as my diary recorded, we hid. We hid in what was the annex of a factory of my father's business. And we as my diary records, were able to do that for quite some period of time before we were exposed by someone who, you might say, wanted to curry favor with the Germans. And so we were found and sent off to concentration camps. And the records show that I died from disease. I was not subject to a gas chamber or anything of that nature, but simply died as a result of typhus, which was very common in the camps. It was one of the diseases that killed many people in the various camps. Indeed, it's important to understand that most of these camps were actually labor camps rather than camps for execution, you might say, of people, but rather the Jewish people represented a workforce. And so, in truth, the Germans were more interested in providing and improving sanitation so that the labor force did not die on them, which had been happening quite a lot because of the very poor conditions. So I wish to correct some of this story, you might say, that is out there. There were locations that indeed were extermination camps, but these were in the earlier days within Poland, and certainly not Auschwitz, as has been put forth as being a gas chamber site. In truth, it was not, and the evidence has come forth to demonstrate that. So I was in what was essentially a work camp, though I was a little young to be of much use in that regard, and hence the sanitation that was made available to older people was not so readily available to young people. They really did not care too much about taking care of children in those places, and so the death toll amongst children was very high indeed. So I wish to simply share those points with you. And I do not need to tell you how oppressive that life circumstance was. And it was a difficult time in the world. But I will say to you that in so many ways, the world you currently live in is truly very similar. The level of oppression, the level of destruction of human life is perhaps greater in your time than it was even in mine. And you might find that hard to believe, given that it was the Second World War and there was a lot of death and destruction. But actually, there is a lot of death and destruction going on in your world, some of which you are aware of. For example, the reactivated bombings within Iraq and the new bombings within Syria. These are, of course, killing quite a lot of people. But also you have the Ebola virus in West Africa, which I will confirm has been man-made. It is not a naturally occurring event, but has been cultivated to decimate that population. And whilst there are scare tactics being promoted to generate fear amongst the Western world, this virus will not survive and propagate into that environment, because even though it has been changed to spread more widely, it still requires those very unique hot, wet conditions that you find in West Africa for it to survive. And so it is really targeting that population of the world. So there are many parallels, and the time of Hitler was a very dark time upon the planet. And as I say, there are different forms of darkness, but no less strong. And you are also seeing this creeping reduction of freedoms that were really begun in earnest with that 9/11 event and have continued. And the so-called ISIL scaremongering is now being used to tighten that noose further and to introduce it into countries where such draconian restrictions have not been in place. It is said that people will not try and break out of a jail that they don't believe exists. If they believe they are free, then they will not fight to be free. And if you look at how the Western world is today, it is in large measure like this, in so many ways far more restricted than was the case in my time. Again, you may find this a little hard to accept, but this is the truth of the matter. And I, from what I am able to witness as I examine the future, I see these limitations, these restrictions becoming more limiting, more strongly imposed, and the plans to move people out of the countryside into cities, this will accelerate by various means and mechanisms under what is broadly termed Agenda 21. Those processes will continue to accelerate. And so life as you know it today is likely to continue to be eroded within this consciousness. So I wanted to share this with you. So many look at the circumstances of life as I lived it and as so many people lived it during the Second World War. And the, you might say, the oppression was very obvious in that time for those who were under the heel of the Nazi boot. It was very clear. It was very well defined. We knew what the risks were. We understood them. Whereas in your time, they are much more subtle and no less powerful, my friends. And it's important that you begin to understand this, begin to see what is being done and how it is being done in your world. Because if you don't begin to understand it, then you don't know what it is you need to get free of. And so I mention these to you, and I also confirm that as I look into your near future, I see the unfolding of this new consciousness that has been spoken about upon this radio show on many occasions by many individuals. And perhaps the most comprehensive explanation of this was given by Michael Jackson a couple of weeks ago. That is a good reference point. If you listening to this have not listened to that program, I encourage you to do so, because I would agree with everything that he provided in that interview. It gives you a good feel of what is unfolding and in a sense of how it will unfold and how those that join that new consciousness, you might say, will be initially still living in the world as you see it, but they will not be subject to this world in the same way. It is hard for you to imagine this, but you have heard that term, I suspect, of being in the world but not of it. And this indeed is how things will be for a period of time. This, you might say, mixture of the emergence of the new and the continuing existence of the old. The old will not transform. The old will continue to become more powerfully controlled. The forces of darkness in your world are way too powerful and way too devious for them to be, you might say, disempowered. That is not going to happen. But rather, a growing number of people will recognize exactly what they are up to. And more particularly, they will witness the emergence of this alternative consciousness, whereby those who have stepped into that new consciousness will carry this perfected, rejuvenated physical form that is hard for you to imagine or even believe as I talk to you about it. And yet it is true. And it really is a return of the physical form which existed in the time of Atlantis. The physical body did not look the way it looks today. And this form actually had different expressions of DNA in a sense, and yet it won't be evident in the fossil record of DNA because essentially the components of the DNA remain the same. It is just that the so-called junk DNA, which makes up most of the DNA, was active and joined up in that time. And it will become so again as this change goes through. So it will be like there will be two versions of humanity upon the planet. And it is a choice to, you might say, step into that new consciousness, that rejuvenated form, this form that will be continuing to live in this world and yet not subject to this world in the same manner. Again, even that is hard for you to imagine, but it will be such. It will be, but you will have all that you need to, you might say, prosper in the world, because it is a stepping stone into the environment where all that you require in a temporal sense, that is food and energy and clothing and housing and so on, all of these things you will be able to simply bring forth from the background energy field at will. You will not have to work for these things. You will not need to spend most of your waking hours in the service of somebody else, for the most part, to try and generate the money that you need to buy the things to survive and prosper. All of that will not exist in the same manner in that new consciousness. And so this emerging form within the existing consciousness will carry some of those aspects. And you will be protected if you step into this consciousness. Those who represent what I would call the dark forces upon your planet might seek to destroy many of you, and they will find they are simply unable to do so. They think they can strike you down in some manner, but they will be unable to do so because you are not in this, you are not of this same consciousness. You will be in it, but not of it. And so I wished to just repeat that and to reinforce that these changes are planned and they are imminent. And there are many elements, you might say, that have to be lined up, that have to be considered, that have to be completed in ways before this emerges. And many have been waiting for this for some years. And I say to all of you that have been waiting for this, simply keep your faith, keep stepping, keep dealing with what is in front of you each day. Make sure that you find a way to provide for yourself in this existing consciousness, because there is a need for you to take responsibility for that as you currently live. And trust that on some level, if you are doing what it is you need to do, that life, even in this current consciousness, will have a way of taking care of you. Most people do not trust this, but in truth, life works that way. It is just that you have been encouraged to not consider that possibility, but it is very real. And there are many people who live in the current consciousness in this way, trusting that they will be taken care of if they do what they understand is theirs to do. So take these steps, dear ones, and know that I am someone that has taken a great deal of interest in the unfolding of this new consciousness, that in ways I became aware when I crossed over that there was this difficult period of, you might say, German domination, and then I could see this period of what you might consider prosperity in the West, followed by this shutdown as you are experiencing, the prosperity of the average person has been largely drained away. Yes, you can survive to a degree, but anyone that relies on, you might say, relatively uneducated employment truly struggles in this consciousness to simply survive. So be optimistic. If you are listening to this program, you are almost certainly one who will participate in these changes. And know that there are many beings beyond this consciousness, especially those that have participated in it as I did and are now, you might say, beyond it. There are so many working in many different ways to support and encourage this unfolding. It is a very complex process that many, many, many beings are involved in supporting and helping in any way they can, because apart from wanting to see the human experience improve, these changes, we understand, also have an impact on all other souls within creation. So you might say there is a level of self-interest being served by this focus. So these are the thoughts and perspectives that I wanted to share with you tonight.
What an exciting message, Ian, and I thank you for coming forth and bringing it, and Richard, you for participating and making it possible. Thank you both. I also would like to mention to those who are listening to this show, if you have any questions of Ian, either her time or this time or anything that she has said, please call in quickly because our show moves along so fast, it's over before you know it. And many times we have people calling in at the last minute and they don't get a chance to speak to the guests, so do that. And I thank you again, Ian. It was a wonderful message to bring forth. And something that I am interested in is, what was it like as a young girl to live in an area where you weren't able to go outside to see the sun, to see the flowers, the world? Tell us the struggle that you went through to live in that cramped space.
I will not say that it was not difficult, because it was. Firstly, there was the ever-present fear of being discovered. That continued, and there were many times when the Germans came through the area looking for people such as us that were hiding in some manner, because there were quite a number of groups of Jewish people that found ways to hide away from the Germans. So what we were doing was not in some way unique. It was actually quite common. It's just that most did not document it in the way that I did. And so it was a difficult environment. There was, as I say, that ever-present fear, and that, of course, meant that there was a need to be relatively quiet most of the time. It is not that we did not communicate, but communication had to be done not much above a whisper at the best of times. There were times when we were clear that there was no one close by, and so we could speak a little more loudly, but still very softly. So there was this kind of restriction. Secondly, living in a small space with other people for an extended period of time is very, very difficult. It, you might say, exacerbates the interpersonal frictions. The differences between people become amplified. It is like living in a glass jar, you might say, where there is such a focus on the individuals who are thrown together in this manner. And so it is very, very difficult. And some people wish to control others, others withdraw. And in overall terms, the level of communication, free-flowing communication, suffers. Secondly, or thirdly, you have a concern about whether provisions will continue to be available to you, because that is an ongoing challenge. If you are hiding away in this way, supplies can become very limited. And even though we worked very hard to make sure we had people that we could trust that would bring supplies to us, this was an ongoing concern, not just food, but also water. There was no certainty that the supply of water would be sufficient, and so on. So many things of this nature made it an extremely difficult experience living in these cramped and fearful conditions for an extended period of time.
How long a period of time did you live there before you were discovered?
We were there for well over a year. Indeed, it was close to 2 years in total that we hid away. The restrictions of the space that we worked with actually reduced as we became more fearful of being discovered. So it was quite an extended period that we managed to survive before we were revealed.
So you're saying that people brought you food and water, I suppose. How were you able to pay them?
My father had been a successful businessman, and in fact the area that we were in was associated with his business location. And so even though his business had shut down, he still had relationships with people who trusted him and respected him, and you might say owed him for favors given previously. And so his historical standing, you might say, within the community meant that he was able to both pay for and to sustain relationships that meant supplies were brought to us.
Thank you. We do have a caller who is asking for some information, and that is Louisa on line one. Louisa, what is your question, dear?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call, and I thank Anne for leaving her diaries and her information for all the generations who have come after her, and I hope she's happy that it has brought to our society the information that she has and helped with our development. But the question, one of the questions you just asked was about how she survived, and I think many of us are awakening and do see what's happening, and I feel quite helpless to be able to do anything about it. And I feel that if when you do have your family with you, it's obviously, you know, a big help. But when you don't, it's very, very hard. It's a greater struggle when you're alone, and if you're especially a single mother, it's quite daunting how we're going to really get through this difficult stage. And, you know, the persecution is, you know, women are feeling especially, really beyond, it's like very hard to live through, and I don't, I hope that your experience once you passed over, you know, had brought you some peace for what you had gone through, because I, you know, certainly look forward to peace, and my question is there any advice or wisdom or insight that she has for people who are awake and who, to the dark forces and the dark entities that really have kind of possessed people to do these horrible things and have misled us and deceived us in such a way that it's you know, like you said, if you don't know that you're not free, you're not going to know what to fight for. So on an individual level, I almost feel helpless, like I don't know what to do. And I don't know if
well, let's refine the question a little bit and be a little more direct so she can answer this. I think you are you looking for how to continue hoping to exist in the future and press on? Is that the direction that you want her to go?
Well, what kind of, in terms of right now, you know, from where I stand, I can already see what she's talking about. There's still a lot of people who are not awakened to the deception and the oppression that they don't realize that they're under. I do realize that. And my question to her is, what advice does she have to help get through it? Now, she was with her family, and that's a support system, which makes it very helpful to go through a traumatic, oppressive event like this. But when you don't have family, which is the way the world is today, so spread out, it's very hard to stay strong, and I think she said to have faith and to stay. And so the question is, what advice does she have to really help us to really get through this and make it, into the next dimension?
We have enough on that.
Sorry.
Let's give her a chance. Yeah. Let's give her a chance to respond, Richard.
Firstly, I will say that what you are going through differs from what I went through, in the sense that I did not go through any awakening process in my consider whilst I was alive. My perspective on what is unfolding really only emerged once I had crossed over and began to look a little more broadly. And what I will say to you is that the angst that you feel as you begin to look at how the world actually works compared with how most people think it works is a natural response, a sense of helplessness in ways, when you can see what is happening but you are unable to do much about it, and you are also unable to awaken others in large measure because they think you're crazy when you talk about these things. So what I would say to you is that, firstly, bringing forth the changes is not really your responsibility. You don't have to, in essence, do anything to have these changes come forth. Rather, be a witness to these changes and allow them to proceed. And it is also not your responsibility to awaken people to how things are, unless they come looking, you might say. Some people might ask you about things, and then there is an opportunity to share things with them. But for the most part, simply allow them to be where they are, because as events unfold, there will be powerful triggers that will alert them to changes that are coming forth. So don't think you're going to, in some manner, transform the current consciousness, because it will not happen. And there are many that have struggled with this over a period of time. So just acknowledge this. Secondly, as you rightly say, it is more difficult in ways because there is not the family structure anymore. And I will say to you that this is no accident.
Thank you both. Tina is online too. Tina.
I have a question for Anne. She mentioned that the dark forces had unleashed the Ebola in Africa, and I was wondering if she sees them releasing that here in America in particular, or any other nasty virus in the next couple months, particularly since winter's coming they like to mess with flu viruses, it seems like. Does she see anything like that being released to try and wipe out the population?
There will likely to be further flu viruses, as there are each year, to encourage the use of vaccination. And also, I will say that, as I mentioned earlier, the Ebola virus will not survive in the American context, and those that have created it know that, though what they are likely to do is to try and force the general population to be vaccinated to prevent them from contracting a virus that in fact won't survive in this environment. So you may see a vaccination program rolled out to protect people supposedly from the Ebola virus, but in fact has nothing to do with protecting people from the Ebola virus. In fact, it is more likely to infect people. These are the games that these people play. So, again, do not be concerned about these things, but rather stand back from them. These fear-mongering tactics over viruses and so on are far worse than any infections that usually come forth. Their attempts to bring forth powerful flu viruses over time have been thwarted by various mechanisms. They have not been anywhere near as effective as they have hoped. So allow these processes to unfold. Witness these games without being fearful of these games, and avoid the vaccinations wherever possible.
Thank you both. Helen is on line 3. Helen, what is your question, dear?
My question is regarding the movie coming out in October, the yogi of Yogananda. Whether Anne can elaborate any connection to the unfolding this time and the potential and possibly Babaji's teaching.
Did you understand the question, Richard?
Yes. It is no accident that this film on Yogananda's life is coming out at this time, because it will alert many people to this very different perspective, this very different way of living in the world that he represented. And however, I do not see it in some manner connecting through to Babaji in any formal way. Rather, it will simply illustrate the life of Yogananda and what a powerful example he was of living in a different manner in the world. So it will, in a sense, foster that possibility, that difference. And so people who have begun to awaken will take some solace for this, and some others that have not begun to awaken will examine this in a new way. So it is not as if the film will be transformational for people, but it is one of many small steps that are occurring in the world to, you might say, foster this understanding of the difference between how life is and how it can be.
Thank you both. Susie, you're on. We now have Susie on line 1. Susie, what question do you have?
My question would be, for me, it's pretty evident what the Ebola thing is all about when they own the patents to it. You know, like, now they want to sell the vaccine. So, I guess my question is, when it comes to, in the article that I read, they talked about where they were going to initiate trying to kind of enforce the vaccine, and I have kids in school. And what would be a way to avoid that?
It's a good question, especially if they say children can't attend school unless they're vaccinated. That does make a problem, but let's hear what is being said by Anne.
It is not yet clear to me how all of this will unfold, the actions in regard to the Ebola virus, because without some tangible evidence in the United States, for example, of the existence of the virus, then it will be difficult for them to actually enforce a vaccination. They certainly are likely to enforce vaccination in Western Africa, but beyond that, I expect it will be difficult for them to do so. I cannot say for certain because there are many variables in place, but as a mother, I simply encourage you to observe what unfolds. You are alert and aware, and I am clear that you understand that avoiding these vaccinations as much as possible is the best way forward. But at this point, it is important to be able to keep your children in school unless you are homeschooling them. And so in a way, it means that when things are mandated, you simply have to work with them. So simply watch events as they unfold and make the best choices you can. But I am of the view that you will not see an Ebola vaccination enforced within the United States.
Thank you both. We are now at the end of our questioning period. Doesn't that hour pass by quickly, Richard?
It does. It does. And I'm sorry for the breakup earlier. I think there's just a microphone, a headset positioning thing that causes that, and I apologize for that happening. When I sit back in the chair and I go off into my own world, into that space, I kind of lose track of things. So I apologize.
Okay. All right. Now, you wanted to discuss a little bit about the Templar video that we have put together. What did you have to say about it?
Well, I guess... For those that have not seen those videos, the content of them is just very powerful. It's not just about the material, if you will. It's not just about the life of the Templars as it was then, which was very, very different from the imagery that I guess has come down to our time about how and what, who and what they were. But rather there are also connections into our time and talking about the fact that the Gothic cathedrals, even though they had very clear purpose in that time, they actually have a purpose into our time. So anyone that is drawn to understanding that material, I encourage you to consider getting a copy of these videos because there really is quite extraordinary content in them. And I continue to get emails from people talking about how they have felt as they've experienced them and worked with them. They carry a power, you might say, that is perhaps a little surprising. I have been humbled, really, by the kind of feedback that we've had from people on many occasions as they've interacted with this content. It's much more than just the words and the messages that they carry. It's pretty clear to me that they carry an energy that certainly Carolyn and I did not intentionally place within them. So, as I said, they have a power and they bring an understanding, and it's a bridge, if you will. The Templars were acting as a bridge between, you might say, the true teachings of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene. They bridged them into that time, and in a sense, the videos act as a reminder of that on a level. So if you're in any way drawn to them, I encourage you to at least go to the website, which I'll provide a link to, and read some of the testimonials from people, listen to the episode that I've put up there for you to be able to just listen to and sample it. And if you're drawn to it, get your own copy and enjoy them. There's a lot of material there, 5.5 hours. It'll keep you busy for a while.
What I find interesting is that gemstones were crushed up and put into the windows, like the emerald and the sapphire and the ruby. Can you imagine that? And it had a big difference, made a big difference on with people. And I was in a Gothic cathedral where the windows came down very low. They were not real high. And what I could see is there was a lot of blue sapphire in the window, and a woman was standing in front of it, and surrounding her entire body, it was all filled with blue light, which is just so fascinating.
Mm. And something that, you know, we tend not to think about, but even the roofs fulfilled an important role. There's one particular episode that is actually quite long one, where Carolyn brings forth an incredible amount of information about the building of these buildings. And it includes that segment on, you know, the ground up gemstones in the windows. That also talks about the roofs and so many pieces. I mean, they are very complex creations. It's amazing, really.
Truly. And there's something else to consider. If you're vacationing and you're going to one of the Gothic cathedrals, it would really be worth your while to get this recording to look for things while you're in the cathedral.
Indeed. Actually, I was most interested to listen to a Scotsman a week or so before their referendum on independence. This gentleman has written a couple of books about some of the history of things. And I found it very interesting that he was, again, talking about this path. He was aware, for example, that these cathedrals were built by the Knights Templar, and that there was this path that began in Spain and ended at Roslin Chapel, a building for each of the key seven chakras, which they told us about, and we share that information in the material you get with the videos. But here was this guy bringing forth this understanding. It was quite interesting. So it's quite clear that some of those key aspects that they shared with us are actually understood by some people.
That's wonderful, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left, Richard. Not much time. Was there something else that you wanted to mention?
I guess I'm interested to see whether Anne has a last
word
for us, you might say, as we round up here. I just would like to reinforce what I said about these coming changes, and based upon some of the questions that came forth, I encourage you to be at peace with the fact that these changes are coming. Do not get overly preoccupied by the actions of the dark, because they can only work in this consciousness. And as the changes come forth, any impact of their behaviors, whether it be things they are doing with food or with vaccinations and so on, you might say, be freed from all of that. Even if the physical body has been impacted by vaccines and so on, it will all be cleared from the body with these changes. So do not get yourself caught in fear about all of this. Know that you are not in a position to stop these changes. I do, as I said in one of my answers, encourage you to consider how you minimize the impact. But ultimately, you need to live in this consciousness as it is until it changes. And be at peace with the fact that you will transcend anything that they might seek to do to you. So I give you those words of hope and encouragement and encourage you to step away from your fear, which so easily permeates your experience when you realize how deeply these individuals are manipulating the consciousness in which you live.
Thank you. Somehow we have to walk along the path that we will be taken care of.
It's true. You know, it's a challenging thing at times to walk in that place. And it's something that I realized a few years ago as I was, you know, facing some of my own challenges in life, wondering how on earth, I was going to be able to survive, I have to say, at one point in time. But, you know, the pieces came into place in my life somewhat unexpectedly that gave me a bridge out of that very difficult financial circumstance that I was in. They allowed me to survive and to take care of some of the obligations that I had for a couple of years before my work with Carolyn began to emerge. So, you know, I'm not saying everybody's journey is like mine at all, but we all have an individual path. And if we travel along the path that we feel guided to walk along, do the things that we feel drawn to do, life has a way of taking care of us. I'm not saying you sit back and don't work or something like that. I'm not at all saying that. But the opportunities to be able to be provided for sufficiently to survive. I'm not saying you're going to be a millionaire tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying. But we're talking about getting through this difficult consciousness and taking care of those things that are our responsibility. That kind of support is there if you are doing what you need to do. Be at peace with that truth.
And I would like to add to that, Richard, that we have our higher selves and our souls working with us and guiding us.
Yes.
And Indeed. Our intuition.
Good old intuition. Such a powerful thing that really acts as a guide for all of us if we're willing to trust it.
Thank you, Richard, and thank you, Ian Frank. And until next time, we will hold you in the love of our hearts.
And thank you, Carolyn. Good night for now.
Good night for now.